Would you please find in your Bibles Luke chapter 5? Luke chapter 5. And beginning in verse 17, we're told that it came about one day that he was teaching, and there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present for him to perform healing. And behold, some men were carrying on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were trying to bring him in and to set him down in front of him. And not finding any way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down through the tiles with his stretcher right in the center in front of Jesus. And you can continue on the reading. It's a very familiar story of Jesus is being impressed with the faith of these men who helped their crippled friend to gain access to Jesus. And so, because he was so impressed, Jesus pronounced in verse 20 that his sins were forgiven. And then that, of course, launched a wider discussion about Jesus and who Jesus was and whether or not he had the authority to do this. And so Jesus, of course, in order to demonstrate that he did have that authority, physically healed the man, which is what, of course, he was desiring to begin with, he and his friends. And Jesus healed him so that people would have a basis upon which to conclude that yes, this man does have the authority to forgive sins as well. As I say, it's a very familiar story, and one that that I'm sure you have contemplated on many occasions. I'd like to talk to you for a few minutes this evening about an aspect of this story that I guess I really never have given a whole lot of attention to. It's found in the 17th verse, where there is the description of the fact that there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. I want to talk to you about those individuals that were there and about the description of them as being people from, I think we would probably say, a wide walk of life. I mean, they came from every town and every village and from Jerusalem. They were from all over Galilee and Judea. And they were sitting there. The New American Standard renders it that they were these experts in the law, these teachers of the law, were sitting there. I want to talk to you about just sitting there and some implications of that. Appreciate very much your presence. As was noted, we have guests, and we're very thankful for that, and thankful for the opportunity to talk to you for a few minutes about God's Word. What were these people doing? They were just sitting, as some versions render it, sitting by. And the New American Standard says, sitting there. It seems to me that there could be a good deal of information in that. A good deal for us to think about, and whether or not we are just sitting by or sitting there only. I think that it may be out of curiosity that you have these men of the law gathered from all corners of the land who have heard of this Jesus and heard of his teachings, and they've heard about his miraculous powers, and they've come now to where he is. They've located him. They've come and they're present at the time of the occurrence that takes place in this chapter. And so I would say to you that they're sitting there might have just been the function of their curiosity. They wanted to know about this fellow that they've been hearing about. And I would say to you here that that's not necessarily bad. It's not necessarily bad to be driven by curiosity, driven by wonder about what one has heard and what one has seen and the significance of what one is hearing and what one is seeing. Curiosity is it's a good thing, and it's a good thing for us. We need to be seekers. We need to be searchers. And we see that demonstrated over and over again in the scriptures of people who would come to hear teachers of the gospel out of nothing more really than curiosity of what they had been hearing about these individuals. Now, having said that, let me also say to you that we need to be careful that's not all that characterizes our sitting there, our being at occasions such as this, and to contemplate things. This needs to be more than just an exercise, an intellectual exercise. This needs to be more than just our considering, remember what was said of the people in the city of Athens and when the Apostle Paul was there, and how these great teachers of the philosophical schools, they really love nothing more than to hear something new, to tell something new. They were anxious to hear from this guy, Paul, because he set forth strange doctrines, different doctrines. They were driven by their curiosity and really nothing more. They were driven by their intellect and really nothing more. And so I would say to you, as we come here and contemplate, are we doing more than just sitting there? Are we doing more than just sitting by? That it would be good for us to ask ourselves, is there a genuine curiosity that drives our considerations, our thoughts, our studies? Now, there should be. There ought to be. It's what was commended in the Bereans for their willingness to examine the Scriptures daily to see whether the things they were being taught were so. There's an element of curiosity in those people. And there needs to be in us as well. But there needs to be more than just that. There needs to be more than just some cold intellectual exercise. Well, I think a second thing that may have been involved in their sitting there, more than just a curiosity, is maybe it's an indifference involved in what's going on. Here are these crowds of people who are gathered around this central figure, Jesus. So much so that access to the house where he is just impossible. And so we see these fellows have to let their friend down through the roof. But where are the people? Now they're crowded around Jesus, gathered around to hear and to see what he has to say. Where are these guys? They're sitting there. Probably somewhere within earshot of what's going on. They probably can see what you know, what's taking place. But it may be that they're sitting there was something of an effort of even of separation from the crowd, a distinction from these common folks who are not instructed in the law and not trained as these men were. Many times people may come to events such as this, and they may just sit there. out of complete indifference towards what is being discussed. Now, let us not lose sight of the fact that these men that we were talking about from verse 17 who were sitting there were religious men. They were the religious leaders of the day and of the crowds. And oftentimes, religious people can grow indifferent. I mean, do we really have to look at Revelation 3 and verse 15 again and consider what the Lord had to say about those religious people in the church at Laodicea? That you're neither hot nor cold. I would that you were hot or cold. You're just indifferent. And he says, it makes me sick at my stomach and I'll spew you out of my mouth. But the point is, they had grown indifferent. And they had grown indifferent by just sitting there. And the same can happen to us today in many of the gatherings of churches of Christ. I think you could find some who were sitting there out of indifference. The prayer, the singing, the praying doesn't move. Many come to sit by as the Lord would go around healing folks spiritually even today. But there's a third reason, I think, that these men might have been gathered there and were sitting there, and that is in order to criticize. In order to find reason for attacks against this man Jesus who's gained in popularity and in continuing to gain in popularity, who seemingly is becoming a threat to these men and to their positions of influence. Their presence there and their sitting there may have been for no other reason than to gain opportunities for criticism. I think there's no doubt that when you come together today among God's people, that there may be occasions where there are those who are present who are there simply for the purpose of criticizing. Of finding, you know, I've heard about this group of people. I know about some of the things that they teach. I know about some of the things that they believe. And so a person may sit in the audience and listen to what goes on and watch what takes place in the course of a service and do so solely for the purpose of gaining criticisms. I'm not entirely sure why these men were sitting by or sitting there. But I think I do know what's happening as they were sitting there, whatever their reasons may have been for it. The first thing that I think of is responsibility. And what is developing here as these men are sitting there in the presence of Jesus, listening to Him teach, watching Him perform these miracles, there is responsibility developing. Responsibility on their part. They would have responsibility for either accepting Christ in what He has to say. I mean, think about what Jesus has to say on this occasion. As these men are sitting there, He says, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." And then to the challenges that are raised about whether or not He has the authority and the right to do this, He says, "Which is easier to say, your sins have been forgiven you, or to say, rise and walk?" These men that are sitting there are hearing this, and they are becoming responsible for answering these questions. And the same happens for us as well. I don't know if you struggle sometimes with being here and just sitting there. But let me say this to you, if you do struggle with that from time to time, whatever the reasons may be, that what is happening while you're sitting there is that you are developing responsibility too. Responsibility for those things that are taught. Responsibility for those things that are revealed in Scriptures. What happens when people are sitting there is that very often hearts are growing hardened. I can imagine in these men in Luke chapter 5 that hearts were growing harder in their determination to resist this man, to undermine his influences, to destroy him and the good that he was accomplishing. Hearts grow harder when we just sit there. Let your curiosity drive you to ask questions. But let it be more than just an intellectual exercise. And don't just be present and sit there in order to criticize and nothing more. When I think about these men, I also think about what was the cause for them to just be sitting by? Why did they come to hear Jesus and yet not take a part in what transpired? Why did they not get involved in what he was saying? I suspect there might have been some self-conceit involved in it. Remember the description that he was teaching, Jesus was teaching, and then there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there. It may very well have been some notions of self-conceit that we are the trained ones. We are the ones who know the law. We are the experts. We are the ones that these crowds of people ought to be listening to. Paul warns in Colossians 2 and verse 18 about allowing the fleshly mind to become puffed up. And we need to be careful that we don't become a people, maybe through just sitting there, who become self-conceited in our estimations of our own selves. I believe that in the final analysis, there is a message here that I hope could be heard by people who are not just sitting there. Let me talk to you for a moment, those of you that are not just sitting by when you come to assemblies such as this. To those of you who understand that your soul is in need of deliverance, who understand and who believe in the invitation that the Lord issued when he said, "Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." If you realize that your soul is sick, if you realize that You're in need of a deliverer. You've come to that realization by means other than just sitting there. And so, may I urge you to do something more than to continue to just sit there. May I urge you to accept the responsibility that befalls you as you come to a greater understanding and a more complete realization of what God's will is for you. May I urge you to accept that responsibility, to act upon it, to no longer just sit there, but to do what these men should have done, and that is to get up and to become active, in the life of Jesus. What a turn of events that would have been, would it not? Had the text gone on to say that these men were moved by what they saw and what they heard, and that they became disciples themselves? But as far as we know, they just sat there. Don't you do the same. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we bid you to come in obedience to Him while we stand and sing.